Why did Jesus come to the earth? Well, you know, there are several passages in the Bible which tell us in Jesus' own words why he came. For instance, in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus said that he came to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. In Luke 19, verse 10, he said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So there are many different answers that the Bible gives to this question. There are many different perspectives that the Bible gives you on why Jesus came to the earth. Here today, we're going to look at another passage that is somewhat different. Oftentimes, I believe it's less studied and people are less aware of what Jesus said about why he came to the earth in this passage, because in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said that one of the reasons that he came was to send fire on the earth. So let's look at what he's talking about here. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now let's go back to verse 49, where Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Now what is he talking about here? What kind of fire is he meaning here in this passage of Scripture? In what way did Jesus come to send fire on the earth? Well, in the first place, this is not the baptism of fire. The Bible does talk about a baptism of fire, and John the Baptist said that Jesus would be the one to administer that baptism. Well, the baptism of fire is the baptism on the judgment day where people will be sent to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. The baptism of fire is punishment in hell. So this is not talking about that baptism of fire. It also is not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, on Pentecost Day, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles, you'll remember that the Bible says that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. There's some people that think that that's the fire that's being talked about here. But you see, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it doesn't say that it was fire. It says it was like fire. There was a light that was shining upon these apostles as they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is a different passage here. Jesus is talking about something else. Jesus is not saying here either, as you sometimes hear people say, that hell is in this life. You've heard some people say that the sufferings, the pain, and the anguish that we go through here in this lifetime, that is really the hell that the Bible's talking about. Listen, folks, that's not hell. The Bible shows that hell is a place where people go after they die. It's a place that people are sent to after the judgment. It's not something that we experience in this life. And Jesus is also not talking here now about what Peter was discussing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Because in that passage, Peter said that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So at the end of time, the Bible says this old world is going to be burned up. It's going to be set on fire by God, and it's going to be burned completely down or burned completely up. Jesus is not talking about that, obviously. He is talking about something that he did when he came to the earth in the first century. The fire here in Luke 12, verse 49, when Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth, is not a physical fire. It's not a literal material fire. Jesus sent fire on the earth by what he taught. He sent fire on the earth by how he lived. He sent fire on the earth by the things that he did and the things that he was going to do. Jesus' teaching spread like wildfire. And when it spread, people made a choice as to whether they were going to listen to it and obey it or whether they were going to reject it. You see, fire in the Bible oftentimes is used as a symbol in a figurative way now. That's what we mean here. When Jesus said, I'm come to send fire on the earth, that is a symbol. That is a figure. He is sending fire on the earth in a spiritual way. Oftentimes, the Bible talks about fire in that sense as an element of cleansing, as a means of God judging, as a test to people. For instance, the Bible talks about the trial or the test of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, even though it is tried with fire. In 1 Peter 1 verse 7, the Bible says that the trying, the testing of your faith is like fire. What does fire do? Well, it separates the good from the bad. It separates the good elements from the bad elements. And so that's what fire did in the first century. It tested people. As Jesus' teaching began to spread, as the news of him began to be known by more and more people, well, what happened? People had to make a choice. Some people said, yes, he's the Son of God, I will obey him. And other people said, no, he's not, and I refuse to obey him. So that fire was a means of God's judgment. It was a test, and it was a refining or a cleansing agent. And that's exactly what happened. And if you want to see the kind of fire that Jesus sent and how it reached out, how it spread, and how it tested people, all you have to do is look down at verse 51. Now, there is a good example of what Jesus means by sending fire on the earth. And notice what he said in verse 49. He said, it's already kindled. It's already started. It's beginning to spread, and it's going to develop and grow even more. It's going to burn even brighter. And when it does, more and more people are going to make a choice about it. And when that happens, you're going to have a separation of people oftentimes, as Jesus said, in their own families. For instance, in verse 51, now here's what he means, especially, this is not the only idea involved in it, but this is a good example here of what it means when Jesus said that he came to send fire on the earth. What would that fire do? How would it test people? Well, let's look at verse 51. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two and two against three. So Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. There will be some people in one family that will accept my word, they will obey the gospel, and they will live the Christian life. There will be other people in that same home, in that same house, who refuse, who will have nothing to do with Jesus, who will not obey his word, and they will not live the Christian life. Now, what happens in a family like that? Well, there's going to be friction. There's going to be division. And Jesus said, that's coming. Now, that's the kind of fire that Jesus said that he came to the earth to spread. Now, does this mean that Jesus, that God wants division more than they want peace and harmony and unity? Absolutely not. But God knows the sinfulness of mankind, and Jesus knew how rebellious people were. And they knew that the gospel would end up being rejected by some and received by other people. Now, whose fault was it then? Whose fault is it when there is division in a family? Somebody said, well, it's Jesus' fault because he said, I'm come to send this division. It's not Jesus' fault. The fault is on the part of the people who reject him. The people that cause division, you see, are the people that reject God's word. I know that sometimes people say, and they blame somebody who teaches God's word, especially a preacher. They say, well, he's dividing people just because he's preached the gospel. And you ask the question, well, what did he say? What did he preach on that was wrong? Well, he didn't say anything that was wrong, but people are just upset, and people are kind of separating, and they're kind of drawing lines between each other. Well, whose fault is that? Who really caused the division? The division is not the result of God. The division is because of man's sin and man's rejection of God and man's rejection of God's word. That's what causes division. Now, Jesus said, "This is the fire that I'm sending. This is the firestorm that I'm setting off." And he said, "It's already beginning. It's already kindled." Folks, I'll tell you what we need in this land, what we need in homes, what we need in churches today, and what we need throughout this nation and throughout this world is for this same firestorm to be set off, for the word of God to blaze across the land so that people will hear it and have the opportunity to be saved. And when that does happen, there will be some that will reject it. And in that sense, you find the refining, cleansing, judging agent that is called fire here in this passage of Scripture. Now, there's one other thing today that we need to talk about, and that is in verse 50, where Jesus said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Now, what is that baptism? Well, it can't be baptism in water, because Jesus has already been baptized in water. John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River. So he can't be talking about baptism in water here. He can't be talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, because when he was baptized in water in the Jordan River, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So it's not baptism in water. It's not baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is this baptism that Jesus Christ said that he had to be baptized with? He's not yet been baptized with it. This must be a baptism of suffering. Because you see, the word baptism means a submersion. It means an overwhelming of something. It means that somebody is submerged completely in some kind of element. So if a man is baptized in suffering, what that means is he's overwhelmed by it. He's completely surrounded by suffering. Everywhere he turns, everywhere he looks, whatever he thinks about, there's no way out of it. That is a baptism of suffering. It is such suffering, anguish and sorrow and pain, that it's almost overwhelming. The person has been immersed or baptized in suffering. Now, that took place when Jesus died on the cross. And that's what Jesus was talking to James and John about when they came to him and they wanted the top positions in the kingdom. And Jesus told them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" In other words, are you able to endure the kind of trials and suffering that I'm going to face? Now, that was in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 22. And Jesus here in Luke chapter 12 is talking about the same kind of baptism. He said, "I've got to undergo this baptism. It's yet to come." He said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Now, the word "straitened" there means that he was hard-pressed, that he was distressed. Jesus felt the weight of the cross before it was laid on his shoulders. He feels the stress. He feels the pressure, even though he's not there even at Gethsemane at this point. He's not there at the point where he is actually being nailed to the cross. And yet, he says, "I feel the weight of the cross. I feel the stress. I feel the pressure," because he knew it was going to happen to him. So Jesus' suffering in regard to crucifixion began long before he was actually nailed to the cross. That's the baptism that he's talking about right here. Folks, I've enjoyed studying with you today, and I hope that something we have said has helped you to live the Christian life. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.